This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Second hour of the three-hour show. Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Maybe we'll turn the page, talk a little hoops, but I did see this. This was interesting. I was telling Nick in the break. Kind of crazy that WNBA star Candace Parker and her husband Sheldon Williams, you may remember Sheldon, an All-American at Duke, was a first-round pick of the Atlanta Hawks, played in the NBA, had a decent career. I mean, survived and made a lot of money. But they're getting divorced. They're not only going to split the check on the fact that they sold their house for $3.75 million, but now in the divorce proceedings, it appears that Parker will pay Sheldon Williams $400,000 to divorce.
What?
That means because of the fact that, despite the fact Williams made more than $12 million in a six-year career in the NBA, she has done better than him in overall earnings, WNBA. She was during the NCAAs. She was in the studio as part of TNT's coverage of the NCAA tournament. She is a very good analyst. She's worked at ESPN in the past. So overall, during the separation, she has to pay him $400,000 alimony.
Man.
And in exchange for that one-time payment, she then does not have to also pay him ongoing spousal support. Oh, Sheldon, come on.
That's a lucky dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, but man up and move on, Chief.
Man, get that money. The women do it all the time. There's nothing wrong with a dude getting paid every now and then. I don't begrudge him. You got to hold that against every woman on the planet if you're going to hold it against him.
Plus, nobody knows him. And looking at this picture, we left him out when we were doing like the ugliest NBA players of all time.
I mean,
he needs the $400K.
Who was it again?
Sheldon Williams.
There you go.
Oh, damn. It looks like if Alfonso Ribeiro, isn't that the dude that played Carlton?
Yeah.
It looks like if him and Draymond Green had a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Aaron Brooks is in that mix.
Maybe it was a threesome.
I don't know. That's what I mean.
But I see Draymond Green and Carlton combined.
It's not a good combination.
No, whatever it is. He's not a handsome fellow, that's for sure.
And Candace Parker's a nice-looking lady. I mean, and she looks good on TV. She's
handsome.
She's in the studio. Oh, here we go. Now, that was Barry Laminack.
What? I said she's handsome. That's a compliment.
Okay. All right.
I don't understand.
Did you watch any hoops last night?
Old boy's wife was handsome yesterday. You didn't seem too bothered about that.
Who?
George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, but you were right.
So it's only when you agree with me that it's okay. Otherwise, you're throwing me under the bus.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I got it.
Oh, you guys watch any hoops last night?
I caught a little bit. I was glad to see the Heat bounce back because I was getting curious about all this hype I had heard. Oh, the Heat, man. Everybody's sleeping on the Heat. And after that first game, I was like, are they? But they bounced back in a major way. Dwayne Wade found the fountain of youth down there in Miami.
No question about it.
Ponce de Leon couldn't have found it. Dwayne did.
25 points, something like that.
28.
28 points. You know, he gave full credit to Kevin Hart, who was talking some mess on the sidelines. He even at the podium mentioned Kevin Hart by name as one of the reasons why he played the way he played. But look, we knew that Dwayne Wade could still score and be a decent player in the NBA. I don't think anybody expected 28 from him. But more importantly, this was a series that everybody thought was a foregone conclusion for the Sixers, who most people picking the playoffs have as the sexy pick to make it all the way to the finals. It was tough basketball to watch, man. The middle of that game was just, it's like watching paint dry sometimes. And Simmons, because he can't shoot, you know, just tries to force it in the middle. And without Embiid, Miami is just a bunch of hustlers that are diving for loose balls and playing aggressive defense. Spoelstra's a good coach. But now Embiid comes out after the game and basically says what I've been thinking for a long time, and I'm glad he finally stepped up to the plate and said it, but I'm tired of effing being babied, and I want to play. Well, good for you.
So do you think they're going to let him play now?
I think
because
they should.
He came out and said it.
I think they should. I mean, look, if it was a joint, if it was his elbow, if it was his knee, if it was his, you know, something that could really... You're facing further injury. But he's been cleared to play. whether he wears the Phantom of the Opera mask or what color it is or all the different things that he's been doing with it, do it on the floor. Don't sit there in pregame warmups and imitate James Harden's step back and traveling and be a funny guy on social media. This is when you step up to the plate and you play. It's the biggest time of the season in the NBA. Go do your thing and play.
I honestly expected them to lose, but I didn't expect them to lose at home after a 17-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose one at home. And that's, I think, what surprised me more than anything. But I did like that Dwayne Wade came out and said, did you see the reason why he went off?
No,
Kevin Hart.
Well, that's what we said, yeah.
Yeah, that I think is hilarious.
I wish I had more context. I probably should have pulled the audio, but I don't know exactly if Kevin Hart was trolling or just being funny and he was messing with him back, or was it like real?
So here's the deal. So we don't have audio of it from anybody that I've, because I tried to find it, but you could see that they were jawing. Iverson was in sitting two seats from Kevin Hart, too. They were jawing to him a little bit. But more so than anything else, on Twitter is where it all started to unfold, because after Wade called out Kevin Hart and basically was saying, hey, look, bottom line is, if you want to blame somebody for me going off, it was Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart decided to take to Twitter, and there was a back and forth between the two of them, where now Hart claims that he will be in Miami.
Oh, he's going to make the trip,
He's going to make the trip so that he can continue doing what he's been doing. And then Wade said, basically, I'm not sure they're going to let you get in into Miami in the building and sit where you were sitting. So it's going to be fun to see how this all, it's a little sideshow.
Did he clap back? Because I don't know that you want to get into a war of words with Kevin Hart. I mean, like, I think it would have been great if he had came in and said, well, yeah, you know what? I'll pay for a seat up front, but he's got to bring his own booster seat. I mean, you know, like, fire back because the dude is short or whatever. Right. I mean, I would have done something like that, but you do have to be careful because you don't want to get into a war of words with him.
Now, see, and here's the other thing. We all know Dwayne Wade's married to Gabrielle Union, but let the man take care of his business. She gets involved. The tweets were going back and forth. And then, you know, he basically said, you know, like I said, you can't come to Miami is what he told. And he showed the ring. He has a ring. And everything. And then Gabrielle Union chimes in and says, this ain't vintage. He didn't turn back the clock. He's been doing this, and he continues to do this. And then tweets a second time and says, now come on home, baby. I got something for you.
Oh, God.
Slow down, Gabby.
Yeah. I tell you what. I've said this before. I'll say it again. If I ever get into a public tiff with anybody and my wife steps in, I'm leaving her. I don't need you to do that. That's horrible. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's uncalled for. Also, this text came in. Barry, you're on your own about Candace Parker. She may be a toothpick, but she's pretty. Careful, you're coming dangerously close to getting your honorary blackness revoked.
Wow.
That text was probably from a white person, too. I'd be willing to bet you. That's just weird. You guys are strange birds.
That was Jerry.
Yeah, exactly.
Jerry tried to call back in.
I saw that. You only get one a day, Jerry. You know the rules.
Yeah.
You know what else their rules are? That R22 is going away. If you own a home, listen to me. Listen to my voice. This is seriously important. R22 Freon for your current AC system is being phased out. In less than 2 years, you will no longer be able to purchase Freon for your air conditioning. So lucky for you, the folks at Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating are here to help. Tom, Brad, and the certified techs at Courtesy AC can upgrade or replace your old AC unit to fit the new requirements and do so and help you save money. Log on to CourtesyACOnline.com to get that process started. And even if your AC is current, when's the last time you had it serviced? Is it ready for another brutal, hot Houston summer? I know mine wasn't. I need to get mine done. I'm going to call Courtesy AC today at 713-278-9933. You can have them come out. They'll check out your system. They'll tell you if it needs to be upgraded. They'll tell you that it's ready for the summer. And if it's not, they'll get it ready for you. Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating has been servicing our area, this Houston area, for over 30 years now. And they're available to service and repair both residential and commercial systems. Call them. This is important. The clock is ticking. You're going to not be able to get Freon soon. You don't want to be caught in that position. Call Courtesy AC 713-278-9933. That's 713-278-9933, or look them up online, CourtesyACOnline.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back knee-deep in hour number two of the three-hour show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Did you happen to see Raheel get involved in our show conversation?
No, what happened?
On Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter.
Him and this is a good song Angel Munoz were piling on.
Him and who?
Angel Munoz.
Oh.
I was just calling him Angel.
Angel? Yeah. He said, did Nick get a discount at the fuel pump after the HJ at the Kroger? I think he meant at Whole Foods.
Well, Angel Munoz was saying, I think he didn't get a massage at Whole Foods. He probably got a handy at Kroger, and then Raheel piled on. That's what happened.
So you get double from the pump.
But yeah, that's that thread.
Oh, wait, there's going to be a text waiting for me. I made another joke. Oh, geez, look out. Wear your hard hat. This one could get ugly. All right. Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Y'all are wild today.
We're having fun. Right?
I know.
Nothing like that. So yeah, the NBA. Brian Barrett just caught me in the hallway and was like, you know, he's Mr. Boston Sports, and he's all worried about it. Celtics okay with the Bucks, dude. You're more than fine. You're not going anywhere past that. But the Bucks are awful, so don't worry about that. Yeah, the NBA game last night again. Here's the bigger issue. I mean, this is, and I said this a couple times. I started saying it Sunday when I did the Sports Sunday deal with Channel 2. And the big thing is the Rockets got screwed, man. I think the Warriors played the system to a T. They got blown out by Utah late in the season by 40. They were losing games that everybody assumed that they were going to win. And the whole deal was like, you know, the Rockets are the number one seed and the Warriors look like crap. No, they were setting themselves up to try and get the easier road to the Western Conference Finals. And the way it looks right now, the Spurs, and you're right, Barry, I'm happy to admit that. I mean, you're right in the fact that the Spurs are absolute trash. Mario Elie said today with us that he really thinks they're the worst team of all the teams in the playoffs as long as they don't have Kawhi Leonard. So the Warriors are blowing the doors off the Spurs, and they should probably sweep them. And then they move on and they wait. And then you get an upset right off the top where New Orleans sneaks a game in Portland. So at the very worst, it's going to be a longer series for the Blazers. And regardless, the Blazers are a team that are a finesse team. They get up and down too. They don't like to play physical. And the Warriors, if they prevail in that, which they should, they walk into the Western Conference Finals and they'll be unscathed. They will be, you know, hardly put through a grueling series. And then they'll play the Rockets. Whereas the Rockets get a team that was otherwise a 3 or 4 seed all season till Butler missed 17 games.
There's only one problem with the theory.
Okay.
Is that this was all undecided until the last day of the season. 3 through 8 was separated by 2 games.
I understand that.
So it's not like you could lay back and see that.
Oh, you could, though.
No, you couldn't.
You could look at the scenarios.
It came down to the last game. I mean, the last day of the season, you still didn't know who everybody was going to be.
They mailed it in against the Pelicans because they knew they were in, and they knew based on tiebreakers between the 6, 7, and 8 teams that it basically you could predict what was going to happen in the other 2 games that night. And if they just...
Well, that's one night, though. I mean, this has been a long...
But it came down to one night.
But I'm saying the Warriors didn't just tank it in a night to get second place. It's been a year-long thing because of the injuries.
Okay, I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth. I'm just saying that for whatever reason, the one seed best record in the West is got a tougher route than the Warriors do right now. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it's going to play out. And the Warriors, in a game that I don't think anybody should have wasted any time staying up to watch last night, won another double-digit game against the Spurs. The only thing that was worth watching was Draymond Green get overly physical with Bertrands and get a flagrant. But that series is over.
Okay. I mean, it's... somebody said this on Twitter, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I do agree with that series is over. This is Josh in Beaumont. I have a conspiracy theory about Kawhi. Pop has been so vocal about politics because he's trying to get LeBron to San Antonio.
No.
LeBron to San Antonio, I don't think is a thing.
Nope, I agree.
I don't think that's a thing. Your theory of Kawhi being traded to Washington, that makes a lot more sense to me than trying to get LeBron to San Antonio. I've not even heard of the rumors of LeBron.
I haven't either.
To San Antonio. I've heard other things.
Now, he likes Pop, but who doesn't?
Yeah, everybody likes. But I don't
he
know
likes
that.
Pop because he doesn't play for him. If he played for him, I don't think he'd like Pop.
That's really?
I don't
LeBron?
Know.
Yeah.
I don't think he would.
I'm with you.
I think they would conflict.
LeBron kind of wants a puppet. Let's face this. Yep. In Miami, Spoelstra was pretty new still. He was a young coach.
Yeah.
Someone
he
that
was
LeBron
literally a video intern, man.
Someone that LeBron could manipulate.
Out as a video coordinator,
he was
right.
Someone that LeBron can manipulate. Tyronn Lue is someone that LeBron can manipulate.
Fellas, I'm here to tell you, and I've talked to many people that have verified this. Cleveland does not practice. Cleveland does whatever LeBron says, but they do not practice. They do not game plan. When you heard Jay Crowder, remember after he got traded and he went, finally, someone that has a system that we can run and plays that we can go through. Everybody was like, oh, that's just spilled milk because he got out of Cleveland and he wasn't going to spend the whole year there. There's a lot of credence to that. The fact that Tyronn Lue, a lot of people say, is just like another player in the locker room, that he's not, you know, having tough practices or discipline guys or doing these kind of things. Remember the whole J.R. Smith throwing soup on somebody and things like that too? I mean, they said it's a real crap show going on in Cleveland.
It doesn't surprise me. I feel like Tyronn Lue is the guy that's still so close in age and, you know, very short life removed from the NBA that he's still in the back of his mind. And you can say that it's not true, but he's human. And I feel like Tyronn Lue is the guy that wants his players to like him first. He wants to be liked. Popovich doesn't care. He'll bench Kawhi Leonard. He'll bench LaMarcus Aldridge. Pop doesn't care if his players like him as long as they win. And I don't think Tyronn Lue's that guy. I just feel like he's a figurehead. He's just a dude out there. He's just a statue.
He doesn't have the track record that Pop does. Pop's one of those guys that because of the longevity and the respect, Pop can be that guy in the NBA, whereas most players, i.e. David Blatt, the last guy to coach the team before Tyronn Lue, he was ousted because he wasn't liked, because the king didn't accept him, and therefore he was moved out of the castle. Tyronn Lue figures this out and goes, hey, this is what I want to do for my profession going forward, so I better try and make this work with LeBron. Well, I guess he's thinking that the best way to do that is to just lay down and let him do whatever he wants.
Could be. I tell you what, though, you've got to be careful when you lay down and kiss a player's ass, because coaching careers last a lot longer than player careers usually, if you're good. And that's not a way to have a long-lasting career, because once he's gone, then you're stuck, because now you've laid down and you've set a precedence for the kind of coach that you are.
The teams are going to talk.
That's why we want to coach LeBron, because you have to.
Like, exactly.
Which coach is going to be able to stand up in this day and age to LeBron right now?
If Milwaukee's very looking few. For a coach at the
very
end of the year,
none. I think it's zero.
Let go.
Oh, no. Pop stands up to him. Thibodeau will stand up to him.
Yeah, but that's the very reason LeBron won't go there.
But I'm saying there are some coaches in this league
that get away with it because they're proven.
Yeah.
And you think if Pop stands up to LeBron and the season doesn't go the way it does or should, and they don't win a championship, who goes, Pop or LeBron?
And San Antonio right now?
You mean Pop or Kawhi?
No, LeBron.
If LeBron went to San Antonio and it all went south, who would they keep, LeBron or Pop?
I would keep LeBron. I think the San Antonio Spurs would be idiots to get
I
rid
think
of.
The Spurs would keep Pop.
Yeah, because LeBron's
older.
Been in the
Guess
league
what?
15
As an
years.
Old coach, you can still coach.
Okay,
as
let's a say player, he was in his prime old. Then, for example.
Oh, in his prime?
Then it's a different story.
Yeah. I mean, but that's the problem.
Although
I still
think
LeBron.
To Barry's point, they'll lean based on his track record, they would lean towards Pop because that's a small market. Getting a coach of that magnitude with that stature
and
is tough to
it's
get.
That kind of
that's
organization.
They made it a get-to destination in San Antonio. Otherwise, who the hell wants to go play in San Antonio?
And they're a lot like the Patriots in that there's a reason they've been so good for so long.
Right.
Now, they've gotten lucky with players, too. Let's not forget, the one year that they sucked, they were able to get Tim Duncan to replace David Robinson. So they did get lucky in that regard. But, I mean, you could say that about any coach. I mean, Phil Jackson, he got lucky with Jordan and Kobe and Shaq. And so you take all that aside, this guy can still coach. And he's made the Spurs a winner.
There's no doubt
a lot
about
like
that.
The Patriots are. And Belichick gets all the credit for that, just like Pop should get all the credit
the
for the Spurs.
The young guy that can get away with it is Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is a guy that has proven, because of the fact that he's come from a small school in college after a hell of a track record, and he came in, he did it the right way. He slowly but gradually showed that he can also make those decisions and have some authority. And now you're looking at guys that it's still a go-to destination in Boston. They've got a great roster, but they all listen to him. If you look at those huddles, no matter what he says in those huddles, they are paying attention, and that means he's got that team. If Tyronn Lue gets let go at the end of the season in Cleveland and Milwaukee's looking for a coach, they're going to talk to people and realize, we want a guy that can kind of keep our young guys in line and lead them down the right path. That's not the guy that I'm going to go get.
I will say though, and this probably works for Barry's argument as well, is that San Antonio could look at it this way. Look, we've got LeBron on the squad. It didn't work. Popovich and LeBron do not get along, but LeBron has already shown that he's not necessarily a loyal person. And if he wants to bounce, he'll bounce. We'll go ahead and keep the longevity in Popovich. And the other thing, that the reason why Spurs have been so successful is because they've basically had the same, what, owner, coach, GM for how long?
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
But
everybody
success
else
breeds that, too.
Right.
But my goodness, when you look at the job Pop did this year with what he
we've
had.
Said that. They were a top four team for most of the first half of the season. Kawhi played 9 games.
I mean, they're 2 games, and I get it. It's the Western Conference, but you're still 2 games out of the third seed with that roster. That is not a good Spurs team. And he still managed to hang in with teams like the Jazz and the Thunder and the Blazers. I mean, Pop may have done his best coaching job this year.
I don't disagree with that.
I mean, he's not going to get a sniff for Coach of the Year because they finished so bad. But the fact of the matter is, he may have done his best job overall.
21 straight playoff appearances for that team.
And there were people that were questioning he wasn't going to make the playoffs and end the streak. All right, guys, I want to tell you about my favorite place to eat in the city of Houston, Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. We were just there yesterday. I took home the leftovers. I took home some more food for the wife, happy life. 1901 Taft in Midtown, first of all, you need to know that. Go to 1901 Taft in Midtown for some of the best food in the city. Southern comfort and Indian food is what they serve up. It's what you'll find on the menu, and all of it is delicious. Even the guys that came out yesterday to hang out with us when we did our broadcast from there even said, "But dude, I didn't think the food was going to be this good." It absolutely is. They're known for some of the best butter chicken in Houston. The Himalayan Heat Burger, you have to put that on your list of must-try burgers. It's one of the best in the city. And now when you go out there, you ask for the Barry Laminack Himalayan Sliders. Well, you don't have to do that. I just made that up. But there's all the food is made from scratch. All of it delicious. The Indian food is family recipes that Haas and his crew has perfected over the years that they've been passed down through generations. And now you can get them at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. And again, it's that mixture, chicken fried steak, chicken curry, sliders, wings. It's all there for you, all delicious. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you'll get 20% off your order of non-quesadillas. That's quesadillas made with non-bread, if you didn't know. You can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. They've got TVs, a full-service bar. There's no reason not to go out there. The food is delicious. The people are great. It's 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we continue to go with the second half of the show. We're 90 minutes in. That means we still got 90 to go. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. Shout out to our man Richard Parker, who is listening live.
Not to be confused with Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man. Right? Yeah. Or was that the... Peter Parker.
Spider-Man, yes. But yeah, Richard sometimes has to get work issues that get in the way of his listening habits, but he's back up and sending us a message, so we appreciate that. Amos has chimed in, Barry, I want you to know, and said that no coach in the league, is sitting LeBron down, not one. I don't care. It was Red, Pop, Phil Jackson. Nobody's sitting the best player in the league down. No one said they're going to sit him down, but in a tight situation, in a situation in which he maybe missed his last 10 shots, I guarantee you Pop would take him out of a game at that point, and LeBron's not going to not go sit down.
Listen, what'll happen, if he'll sit down Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, he'll sit down anybody. I've seen Kevin McHale do it where your team goes out as a team and craps the bed. I'm talking like 9 points in the first quarter. They get down 17-3 after 4 minutes. You're sitting all the starters at once. That includes LeBron James. Because then what are you doing? You're setting a precedent that he's above the rest of the team. You five guys out there dug that hole. All five are sitting down. That was the point I was making.
Yeah, exactly. And take it a step further. There's a fact. The fact of the matter is, when you're talking about a situation like this, you've seen. Let's put it this way. If Tyronn Lue says to LeBron James, you're sitting down, and LeBron goes, nope, no, I'm not, and that's happened, he's not coming out of the game. And he will do that to Tyronn Lue. But you're not going to do that to Greg Popovich. And to your point, Barry, which is a good one, go back to the Clippers in Game 6 when in 2016 when the Rockets made that great comeback. James Harden was not a part of it. James Harden wanted to come back in the game. And McHale said, go back and sit down. Yep. The guys that got us back in the game are going to finish this, and they did.
Yep.
That's when a coach knows that he has the authority and isn't afraid to make sure he does what he wants to do. You don't see that from Tyronn Lue. You don't see that from a lot of other coaches. Joe Prunty's a guy in Milwaukee. He could be under that list of guys that are great assistant coaches but are never going to be going to make it in the NBA, because if you're afraid to talk to Giannis Antetokounmpo now, mm-hmm. and he continues to blow up and get bigger and better.
Good luck.
Where are you going in the future if they decide you're their guy?
Yep. Ain't gonna happen.
No, it is not.
Somebody wanted to know where those dessert picks were posted on Twitter. You can get them on Twitter. And somebody said, hey, guys, just want to say thank you for what you do. You guys helped me through a tough time in my life. He gave the reason, which I'm not going to read. And I said, I started listening again to the show, and it cleared my mind. I was able to handle the situation. So thank you guys for what you do, and keep it up. And thank you for listening, man. And, hope things are improving and get better for you, for sure.
No doubt about it, man. Hopefully that there are brighter things ahead for you, but we do appreciate the loyal listener. And that's one thing that we love. I mean, the Blitz has a great following with the Blitzers, but we've noticed in this short period of time that we've been doing what we do, and just like yesterday's event out at Cowboys and Indians, the amount of support you guys show us is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's why we're happy to call you Usual Suspects, because we appreciate you guys on a daily basis.
I mean, I do most of them, not all of them. I don't appreciate everybody.
I'm with you, and I'm not afraid to call them out. You think I should? You give me advice you don't take yourself, but at the same time, I'm with you.
I take my advice most of the time.
No.
Yeah.
You tell me don't ever respond to those people. Don't ever even call them out on the air. It brings attention to them. Then you're out there calling all 10 digits of their phone numbers.
That was one guy.
Oh, no. You had plenty of blow-ups and reactions.
One time, and the guy was stalking me on Facebook, on Twitter, on the text lines. He was sending me snail mail. I got a Morse code letter. A pigeon carrier dropped a note on my house.
That was one time.
No.
Was the note?
No.
Is that the one that was flying into the windows too?
Dude, I still have a bird problem. Let me tell you what.
You jinxed me because, you know what? Just like when we talked about jury duty, and then I got it, Dell got it, we all got notices. People listen to the show in government, I'm sure. But here's the other thing. Then you talked about these birds, and we got one of these high windows that has no purpose above our front door about like 15 feet up. There's a cardinal mansion that every day goes and just runs headfirst into that thing and then keeps tapping at it.
He's attacking the bird.
And my dogs go crazy.
Yeah.
So I just put a tennis ball by the... I won't tell my wife this. And I know she's not listening, so I'm safe. I keep a tennis ball by the front door. And the minute I hear that bird, I just go out there and start throwing the tennis ball up at the bird. And the bird flies away and I'm good.
Yeah, mine, it does it across the entire front of the house. So like in the laundry room, I can close the door and I don't have to hear it. When he does it in the dining room, I have to hear it. And in the bathroom, if I'm like in there or I'm in the bedroom, you can still hear it. It's the worst because I just throw things at the window to get him to leave. But it's these little finches, or it's not a cardinal. It's these little birds, and they just sit there on the windowsill and peck the glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're dumb. You're fighting yourself, idiot. It's like you're like the bird version of Bruce Lee in Enter the Dragon at the end with all the mirrors. That's you, stupid.
Boy.
God. And then I asked the guy at Coastal Pests. I was like, what can you do? He was like, well, we'll look into it. He was like, it's probably coming from those trees. I was like, I'll cut them all down. It's driving me nuts. I'll get rid of all the trees.
Well, if it doesn't look too tacky, could you just put one of those black stickers on the window?
My wife.
They make clear bird. They're not quite clear. I've told you this.
Spikes?
No. They make, it's like the outline of a silhouette of the bird. But it's a sticker that fits on the middle of the window, so it's not really ugly or intrusive looking on the window.
My wife would never go for it.
But it scares the bird away.
No, because they're why would it scare them away?
Most of the birds they're attacking look at the window
because they see themselves
and think they can go through it.
No, this isn't flying through. He's sitting on the ledge, pecking the window. It's like, you dumbass. That's you. You're pecking yourself.
I guess it's so, a different approach for
if like, I put it's a bird. Like Pornhub. He's pecking himself.
Yeah. If I put a bird silhouette in the window, then he's going to attack that because he thinks he's fighting someone that's in his space. So they told me that I could put down spikes on the window ledge so they couldn't land there. But I've seen them fly and peck the window. Like, they don't land. So I'm like, well, that's not going to help. And my wife, she's not going to. I put shampoo bottles in all the windows because I thought maybe that would scare them off or change the reflection so they didn't see it. She goes, no, you take all that down. That looks trashy. I was like, what?
No, Lisa would say the same thing.
She was like, no, I don't want people driving by and seeing shampoo bottles in the window. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we were the only household in America that doesn't put shampoo up in the little window ledge in the shower. No, we're not doing that.
I got bigger issues than that. So,
Joel's I'm like, telling you. I got more
man
pressing.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
Birds are stupid. I'll just tell you that. All birds can go to hell. Every bird
grows every day.
It's very big. Yeah. It's exhausting.
Believe me.
Every night, some people say prayers. I just read my go to hell list.
Yeah.
It puts me asleep.
I can see
it's
that.
Good reading.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text. That's the HRNP listener line. Or hit us up on Twitter where we're all available throughout the show and most of the time outside of the show as well. More to come. It's Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Almost up hour two of the show. Having a good time now with Bird Talk. Hey, everybody guys. With suggestions.
Yes. Somebody called in and said put rubber snakes in the windows. I had never heard of that.
That's a good idea.
Which, again, I think Nora's going to poo-poo that. She's going to be like, no, you're not putting snakes up in the windows. But she leaves at 6 in the morning and wakes me up. So I could get the snakes, put them in the windows for the day. I always am home before her. She gets home at 6. I get home at 5. I can just get home, take the snakes out. And if I do that every day long enough.
Until you forget.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
But she would never know.
At my dad's business, we try to do that with fake snakes, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Not with fake snakes. Perhaps with real ones, if you want to do that.
Oh, but I'll get some real snake.
Was that a snake in your hand, Barry?
Yeah.
I was just trying to get to the birds.
Yeah. Just trying to get them, eat the worm.
Brandon Hannon says, you don't have an owl decoy on the barn?
That Barry? Doesn't work either. We've tried that.
Owls don't work?
Really?
Yeah, the fake owls will only work temporarily, and then they catch on.
I need to get something for the deer also because they're eating all of my bushes around the house. They just show up and eat deer and everybody's like, look at the deer. I'm like, deer can go to hell along with the birds because they're running my plants.
What do you do with the bobcats and the cheetahs and the lions and everything else?
I was going to say, isn't that manscaping when the deer eats the bushes?
You know, I almost said there's no bobcat. We have bobcats.
Yeah, you told me you had bobcats. I just threw in cheetahs and lions. I knew that's not true.
We have coyotes.
It's pretty cool the
coyotes.
Amount of wildlife you see in Texas.
Yeah.
You hear stories about, all these different animals and things around the world and everything like that. But, like, literally, we have owls out in Sugar Land, and the hawks that we see.
Yep.
Who?
Yeah. Okay, what are you, an eyeglass commercial now? And like you said, there's some bobcats along with – there's a lot.
Stupid.
And the different kinds of lizards and snakes and stuff. And alligators. We had a truck with their boat backed up into the water out there in Sugar Land this morning trying to get rid of like a 7.5-8 foot gator out there.
Oh, damn that. That's a little too far for me.
And
I'm all right with the owls.
And they hired that crazy ass dude they always put on the news that likes to like wrestle with them and try and tie them up. I'm like, all it takes is one mistake, bro, and you're going without some digits.
Yeah.
That alligator's gonna take away one of your hands.
They're fast, man.
No doubt. They can run. Hey, shout out to Francisco's wife, Mandy.
Okay.
He said he left the car, he left the radio on ESPN 97.5 intentionally. She got in the car and listened to the show. She's a suspect now.
Outstanding.
So shout out to Mandy. Good looking out, Mandy.
That is fantastic.
You have a great husband. I hope. I mean, just based on the fact that he listens, he's pretty awesome in our book. Hey, guys, just want to say thank you for recommending Falbo Brothers Pizza. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Definitely worth the drive. The stuffed cheese pizza is a monster.
Amen, man. That's fantastic. Word I've been craving up. It for a while, Nick. We might have to. I'm either going to have it brought in.
Dude, I got so many comments when I posted like the picture of the pizza. I'm like, when I put a picture of myself, I get like no comments. None. We put a pizza, dude. Like a deep dish pizza. Everyone's like, where'd you get that from?
That reminds me of the guy I worked with this weekend. His name is Paul Varghese. He's done Last Comic Standing and some other stuff. And he's got a joke where he says, my favorite Facebook post is, who wants to hang out today? And then no comments.
Yeah.
And no likes. He's like, I always go back 3 months later and like it. But that's something. You'll post something like, oh, I'm feeling great, man. Check this out. And then you post a picture of yourself and nobody does anything. But then you post some food and everybody's like, oh, that's awesome. And they like it. It's like, go to hell, bro. Like,
my buddy used to do that, but I used to clown him. He also used to, not only did he like his own post, he would be the one to comment on his own post. I'm like,
that is a Trey move.
Yeah.
A big Trey move.
Don't like your own tweets or retweet yourself either.
Trey has a conversation with himself with two different accounts on Facebook.
Yeah.
We figured that out. Yeah,
Mandy said, now I have a Mandy partner. That's true. There's two Mandys now that listen. Look at that. We're just racking up the Mandys.
And they came and they gave without taking.
That's right.
Barry, we need you to stay. Oh, Mandy.
Barry, use a hot pepper jelly on the ledge. For the birds.
On the ledge, it'll burn Barry, their feet. On the ledge, Barry. Don't use the hot pepper gel on the nut sack.
Pills.
Yeah.
It says it'll burn their feet. I talked to Joe at Coastal Pest about that. He said, I can put that stuff down and it will burn their feet and they won't land. And he said, but over time it starts to turn black. And I was like, yeah, well, my wife will never. And then I've got to get out there and scrub the entire house. Because it's kind of like you ever painted a wall in your house?
Yes.
And you touch up paint. But it's been there so long that it's kind of dirty. So now the only thing that looks new. Yeah. I'm not doing that outside. Now I'm going to have to paint the whole house.
You do a lot of work for your house. Like you do your own landscaping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
See, I would be an angry person.
Shout out to the Home Depot folks, though. Like you literally, if you take a razor blade and just chip off like a 1-inch piece of the paint, even if it's dirty. Yeah, take it in
for paint samples.
God, they match it to a T. It's amazing.
I tried to do that at my old house when we were moving. I was like, oh, look, I took in a sample, and I don't know what it was, but it didn't match. And I went around the room, and I was like touching up everything, and I had these long, I'll just touch up this long streak here and there. Too. And then it was real dark. I was like, oh, it just needs to dry. Yeah. Nope. It dried. It was real dark. I had to repaint the entire room.
Did the same exact thing.
Well, that pissed me off.
I went back to Home Depot going, y'all screwed me.
Yeah.
Because you said this was going to match, and
I that's why you have someone do it for you, because the restrictions are so, like, you know, strict, and probably in your neighborhood too, but in our neighborhood, it's definitely real strict. So, like, if it doesn't match, I can just say, hey, man, you know, the city said you can't do that, and it's on them. It's their responsibility because you're paying them, you know what I mean? Instead of you doing it yourself.
I mean, in Barry's case, the barn has to actually match the house in terms of.
No, we can keep the barn
they
red.
They have to be the same color.
The house is white, the barn
is
red.
But that's what I was going to tell y'all. Okay, so Lisa's got this problem, and I don't think it's as bad as Nora's with the shampoo in the window, but. Here's the thing. So our back door is actually the side door of the house, right? We have a side door of the house where the driveway is when you pull in. From the street, you really can't see it, all right? Right next to the door, there's a light, right? The night light. And I like to take the dog leashes because they have little curly Q things on the dog light.
Right.
I just stick the leashes on there and they hang down. No one can see them from the street. They're right up flush against the building. She thinks it makes our house look tacky, like we're like these rednecks that just throw leashes anywhere, as it is, okay? Then, to appease her for the house, I take my shoes off before I go in the house. I leave them next to the back door. You all know how many pairs of shoes I have lost as casualties due to all this. I say I have a solution. I find at Home Depot online, I find one of those boxes. Like, it's all weather and it's waterproof, but they use them for patios too. I guess a lot of people put the cushions to their patio furniture in there to keep them dry. It's a nice, matches the exact exterior of the house. It matches our garage doors, dark brown walnut. Just put it next to the door. I can put my shoes in there. I can put the leashes in there. It solves the problem. She goes, I'm going to need to approve that. What? I'm going to need to approve that to make sure that the color makes sense and the fact that it blends with everything else in the house. I go, it's the same color as the garage doors. Doesn't matter. Wow. Might not look good from the street. I'm like, well, then you let me know how that goes and order it up then. Because I'm like, I'm just trying to make it cleaner and nicer. Otherwise, I'm good slapping the leashes over the lights and leaving my shoes on the garbage cans.
Yeah.
Now, so you take your shoes off. Why don't you just take them with you to your closet?
Oh, you don't want to do that. First of all, Nick knows. My basketball shoe collection, everything like that, they're not going to my closet. All my basketball shoes are in the garage.
And it's massive. It's a big collection.
So you go out to the garage to get your shoes
every day? No, that's what I'm saying. So I leave my everyday shoes, or shoes that I'm just going to, that I only walk the dog in case the grass is wet and everything. Uh-huh. I just leave them next to the back door. I was leaving them on top of our garbage can, and then the damn dog figured out that they can jump up on the garbage can and still get the shoe. Pissed me off. I bought new slides.
So why don't you just leave them inside the door?
Bought new slides, never wore them, ripped the hell out of those.
Why don't you just open the door and leave them right inside?
The dogs are inside too, Barry. We all sleep. They could grab that shoe, go to their...
See, I would whoop my dog's ass if it messed up one of my shoes.
Oh, my God. I've been through so many pairs now.
I don't care.
Have you? Lisa basically is on the board of PETA. I couldn't do that.
Do you whip your dogs?
I'll spank their ass, yeah.
Does she get mad?
Sometimes.
Does she know?
Oh, don't, no.
Yeah, I used to have the... I would even spank my cat, but... He's old now, so I just scream. He's deaf.
I got to the point where even the pit bull...
You scream
the pit bull,
when he's... Now that he's deaf, you scream?
Yeah.
The pit bull knows the
screaming would have been more effective before he would...
Oh, the most fun I've ever had with an animal was when a cat is walking by and it's real quiet in the room, and you just go like that, and they jump because it scares the crap out of them because it's so quiet. Just if you just breathe in heavy, you just go like, oh, he'd be walking. He'd just pop up in the air about a foot and a half off the ground and then keep walking. They don't ever stop, though. It just scares the crap out of him for that split second. It's the only reason to get a cat, is just to do that. And now that he's deaf, I have no fun with this cat anymore.
Dad, and you won't have any, like, mice issues, right, when you have a cat?
No mice, no bugs. I'll find dead wasps, dead roaches. Like, they exterminate the entire house, which is awesome. Because we'll find wasps.
I'll give you another one, Nick,
on the floor.
Show that I live with someone that should be the president of PETA. Okay, so you know the bigger mosquitoes, right? They look massive and they get the long dangly legs, right?
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Lisa calls them skeeter eaters because they eat mosquitoes.
Yep.
I don't know, whatever reason, right? They get in the house, I can't kill it. I got to catch it, put it back outside.
Oh, my God. That would drive me nuts.
Oh, and if it's a bad day... You got that right.
I murder all of them. Every single last one of them.
I'll throw a ball at it if it's up on the ceiling. I don't care because at least I got it. Oh, no. I got it. At least it, like, tries to save every bug in the house. Put it back outside.
Oh, you catch it then. I'm not going to do it. You want it to live, you put it outside. I'll be
so
over
how
here.
How do you
on
catch
the...
it? Do you wear gloves? If like, my what do wife, you do?
I don't. I just catch it with two hands. Just throw it outside.
Because I'm the bug guy in our house. And if Nora were to be like... No, you don't kill it. I'd be like, well, then you catch it.
Yeah, because she's the freak out too. Oh, God. Oh, God. There's one of those bugs. Yeah. Go get it. So then I go, but don't hurt it.
Mm-mm.
No, put it in.
I try not to kill the lizards because I feel like that's just nasty. Like, I don't want to clean up that. Like, I just.
Well, those are productive. So are most spiders. Like, most spiders and lizards eat all the bugs you don't want. You shouldn't kill them.
Yeah, I don't kill lizards.
Eat them. No, you should also eat them. No, like a tarantula burger?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't do that either. Man.
Hammer that thing.
Who put the there's a tarantula store.
Barry,
tarantula
I'm
burger.
Into it. Yeah, Barry put it on there.
Oh, we got it. But that's cool. We'll talk
I'd
about
seen
it.
I it the other day. Yeah. So if you want to eat a tarantula burger, we got news for you.
No.
You get a t-shirt.
You can't
work.
Get a tarantula burger at Cowboys and Indians. That doesn't work.
No, you cannot. But no. You get better food than
you
that.
Can get a Himalayan Heat burger, though, baby. One of the best burgers in the city of Houston. Go by there and check it out. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where you can get Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Now, I'll also tell you, you can have it delivered. DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub. They're on the list for all of those. So if you're craving it, but you don't want to leave the house, they will deliver Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen to your door. But make the trip out there. Haas and Imran and the crew, awesome people. They're great to hang out with, talk sports. You can talk gambling. You can talk just about anything. Haas is cool, laid-back dude that you can hang out with and enjoy your meal. He's going to take care of you while you're there. They have a full-service bar, so if you want to get your drink on, maybe watch the game with some buddies in Midtown, maybe before or after you go out, you can do that at Cowboys and Indians. But I do want to tell you, make note of their new hours now. They don't open until 4 o'clock Monday through Wednesday. And then on Thursday and Friday, they're open at 11 a.m. So make sure you write that down if you're going out there to check them out. And when you go out there, This is my favorite. This is my go-to meal. This is what I want you to get. I want you to start with the quesadillas made with naan bread, the naan quesadillas. Then you get a Himalayan heat burger, and then you polish that off with a red velvet cake. You will leave a happy camper. I promise you that. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you'll save 20% off those naan quesadillas. All the food's delicious. All of the food is authentic. It's all made from scratch when you order it. You're going to love this place. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI 713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.